You are learning now for the Rosh Hashanah of Eitan Tzfad. This is your time today. So we're in Sefer Chovos HaLevavos, Shaar Betochem. We're still in the introduction. We're in the Lo Lishma reason as to why it's valuable for a person to have Betochem. Echad HaToalot Shal Betochem Avodas Hashem Hu Shabotech Ve'elokim Mevi Oto Bitchono Ba'Hashem Latzliach Dato Inyanei HaOlam Hazeh Ulerakez Machshavotav Le'Inyanei Avodat Hashem. והוא דומה למנוחת נפשו ולהרחבת הדעת שלו ובמיות דאגתו לענייני העולם הזה לאומן כימיה שיכול להפוך כסף לזהב ונחוש את הבדול לכסף על ידי חוכמה ומעשה ולעוד אלה שבטח ולוקים עולה על אותו בעשרה יתרונות. So he's going to go now through 10 different reasons why where a person who has trust in Hashem rises above someone who has trust in some tricks, some patent in Hebrew that he has of how he's going to be valuable. The example that he's giving specifically is someone who's an alchemist, someone who thinks he can turn one type of metal into another type of metal and become rich from that. But maybe we'll just give examples of people who think they're going to make big business breaks and business deals, and they know how to work the system, and they're trusting in their conniving plans that they're going to be safe and secure for their lives, and they won't need to have to work hard throughout their lives. We're going to parallel to someone who has trust in Hashem. Yitaron Arishon. Someone who's in this working world, but in a tricky way, Zakuk lemelachto lechomorim or machshirim miyuchadim shebiladeyem hu lo yochol lehotzi lepaor shum davar. Someone who trusts in his work, then he says, as long as I have my machinery, I'm safe. As like a football player will say, as long as I have my legs, I'm safe. Everyone in their particular area who have a very specific area that they trust in, then they're always saying, I have faith in, and they have something very specific. My hands, my legs, my machinery, they have the economy, the market, my houses, whatever it is that they have, the stocks. They have some area which they're putting all their trust in. And they say, as long as I have that, I'm safe. But you can't always rely on those things. Sometimes the market goes down. Sometimes there's an accident and someone's legs are damaged. When you're dependent on something specific, your whole life is in balance. Your whole life is dependent on something else. And therefore there's this basic anxiety threat that a person would have. What would happen if I would lose my money? What would happen if I would lose my legs? What would happen if I would lose my stocks? What would happen if... Because it's always depending on something very specific. And that causes a person not to have menuchas ha-nefesh. Because they're always concerned about this particular area which they've trusted in. Ta'ilu abotech v'Hashem, parnasatom muftachad lo, nikol ma shenimtza ba'olam. He says, the same Hashem who gives me my fortune by investing in this area, he is the same Hashem who will provide for me even if this area is taken away. There's an amazing story about, in one of the Holocaust books, about a family who when they lived in Europe, when they lived before the war, then they lived in Hungary, and they were a very wealthy family. And they were big machnisei orchim. And that was their thing. I mean, that was like who they were. The husband worked and the wife provided, and they would have many, many guests. They would give so much to everyone the whole time. That was like their label and their essence. That was their main mitzvah they educated the children with. And then as part of the war, they were taken away. And they ended up being in a camp. And in the camp where they were, they had nothing, nothing, nothing. And the kids were sure that now that's the end of the family. Because that was what the family represented. That was who they were. And the mother was still, in a way that you could be, very optimistic and positive, and she was instilling the children with values. And the kids couldn't really get it. They were saying, like, Ima, but Mama, like, everything that we are has been taken away. So she said in the simplest way, just simple way, she said, when Hashem provided us with money, then that was Hashem's way of saying, this is how I want you to serve Hashem. So we did it best. And now Hashem has taken away the money, so Hashem is saying to you, to us, in these circumstances, I want you to serve me as well. So now we're doing the best we can in the situation. And in the same way as we had joy in the way that we served Hashem when we were rich, now we will have joy in the way that we serve Hashem under these conditions. Because our principle is serving Hashem. Our principle is not Hakhanas Orchid. That was just the main expression that we had of serving Hashem. We're not limited to the form. We're not stuck in a mold. If the form changes, we'll change as well. The Avodah Hashem is the major title. There are subcategories. So someone who trusts in his business, in his profession, in his skill, he's going to always be on anxious and on edge. Like, is it going to keep going? What will happen if it changes? What will happen when it comes to an end? But when a person trusts in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, the same Hashem that provided for me one way, I'm above this limited box. I'm above the mold. Hashem will provide for me in another way. כמו שכתוב, יאכילך את המן למען הודיעך כי לא על הלחם לבדו יחיה אדם, כי על כל מוצא פי השם יחיה אדם. שהרי לא חסרים לבורא אמצעים לפרנסת האדם בכל עת ובכל מקום. כמו שידוע לך מהעובדות של אליהו הנביא, עם העורבים, עם האישה אלמנה, ועם עוגות הרצפים, וצפחת המים. We have many examples in Tanakh. ומהעובדה של עובדיה עם הנביאים, of people who didn't have any food, they didn't have any money, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu nevertheless provided for them in circumstances that were not regular, normal circumstances. ואחבי מנביאי השם, 100 איש וחמישים, וחמישים במערה, וחלקלם לחם ומים, ונאמר כפירים רשו ורעבו, ודור שהשם לא יחסרו כל טוב, ונאמר ירועת השם קדושיו, כי אין מחסור לירייו. Someone has fear in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He doesn't get limited to, Hashem, I will only take food if you provide it for me in this way. And then the person starves. And he goes to Shemayim and Hashem, and he says, Hashem, why did you make me starve? He said, I didn't make you starve. There were many other options open. He says, no, but I wanted it in this way. Hashem will say, oh, that was your choice. You decided to get limited to a particular way. I was willing to provide for you. Not always in the same way. Sometimes the way changes. If you don't limit yourself to trusting in a particular thing, in a particular stock, in a particular industry, in a particular skill, then you trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you may be, it'll be challenging. I'm not saying it's not challenging. You may have to retrain, things may have to change, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't abandon you. I'm going to go back to that possibly one second. Ki lo al alechem levado yichiyeh ha'adam, ki al kol motza pi Hashem yichiyeh ha'adam. So what is it saying exactly? Lo al alechem levado, meaning the Havamina was that we need bread to live. And it's saying, כי לא על הלחם לבדו יחי אדם. You don't only need bread to live. כי על כל מוצא פי השם, but rather what comes out of Hashem's mouth. Meaning, what's that saying exactly? It's saying that you think that it's the bread that's giving you sustenance. That's what you're thinking. But where does the bread have the ability to give sustenance from? It's only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's word said that bread will give sustenance. So don't get stuck on the bread. Recognize that it's the word of Hashem that gives the bread the ability to give you sustenance. And once you recognize that, then you don't have to be limited to the bread anymore. You recognize that the word of Hashem could give you in another way. Ki lo al alechem levado yechiyeh adam. It's not the bread that's feeding you. It's motza pi Hashem. It's Hashem's word that's feeding you. So when you're not limited to the bread, you can recognize that the same Hashem I provided with me in such a way, Hashem can provide for me in a different way, and I'm not limited. So the value, and all this is the lolishma, but the value of having bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, so when a person trusts in anything else, but we're talking a bit here about his business or his skill, when he trusts in the market, when he trusts in those things, then he's limited his belief that if that thing is pulled out under the rug is pulled out under his feet, then he's going to be totally empty and abandoned. If a person has trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then he just sees this as the primary current way that Hashem has chosen to provide for him for, but he's never limited to it. He's able to be flexible and move with Hashem as Hashem moves with him. Yitaron HaSheni. שאמן הכימיה צריך לעשות פעולות ומלאכות שבלעדיהן אין מגמתו יכולה לצאת אל הפועל, ועלול לקרות שהריח והשען של הסמים ימיתו אותו, בנוסף למה שעליו להתמיד בעבודתו ולהתייגע בזמן רב יומם ולילה. ואילו הבטח בהשם מובטח לו שלא יוזק, והוא בטוח שלא יעונה לו כל רע, מאחר שהוא מאמין שכל מה שהשם עושה הוא לטובתו. ולכן הוא שש ושמח עם כל מה שבא עליו מת השם, ופרנסתו באה עליו במנוחה השקט ושלווה. A person who works in a way that's unhealthy, meaning that he trusts in his work, then he could lose proportion of how much he needs to work. And he might say to himself, if I don't do extra, and I don't put in more effort, and I'm not talking about a healthy way here, I'm not talking about a person who's just doing normal ishtadlus, but a person who says, if I don't then sometimes cheat, or if I don't sometimes like make up things, if I don't, then my business is not going to work. And then there are things in the business that may come to damage him. He may have emotional tension or even physical damage done to him because he's putting himself out in a way which, since he's trusting in this business, he feels he needs to do in order to be successful. I'll give an example. There was I may have told this year or last year. I once had a husband and wife came to visit us for Shabbos, and we were having a discussion around the Shabbos table. And he was saying how in the work that he works in, he has to lie sometimes, and he has to speak Lashon Hara. That's like just part of what he does. He's working in sales and things, and like part of being in sales is that you have to make up certain things, you have to speak Lashon Hara sometimes, and that's just how it works. That's the instruction of how he's been given from his boss about how to work in this industry. So I said to him that, from my understanding, that you are obligated according to halacha to change jobs. Because you're not allowed to be in a situation where you'll have to break halacha. They said, but I'm married, I have a child, I got to support the family. So I said to Hashem, who supports you, he will support you without you needing to break halacha. Like, it doesn't say anywhere that Hashem won't support you if you keep halacha, and he will support you if you break halacha. It's the opposite, maybe. Hashem, who will provide for you now, he'll provide for you if you give up this job and you change job because you don't want to break the halacha. So he said to me, yeah, very nice. That was before I was a rabbi. He said, very nice to me. Like, very nice. Like, you're living in yeshiva, and you're Gan Eden. You don't have to speak Lashon Hara here. But when you get to the real world, but that's just the way the real world works. That's the way of the real world. It's like, you have to be real. Like, don't tell me in your yeshiva, don't speak Lashon Hara. In yeshiva, I won't speak Lashon Hara. Fine. But when you get out of yeshiva, then that's just the way of the world. I wasn't convinced, and he wasn't convinced. So we had a nice Shabbos things mirrors together, but that conversation ended there. If a person's trusting in his job, then when the opportunity comes up to give up the job for the sake of showing Hashem you're devoted to him, you'll miss it. When the need to speak Lashon Hara comes up, you'll say, but I have to. Like, this is part of the job. And when a person's values are compromised in a job, he'll say, I have to do it. And never mind halacha for a moment. Never mind halacha. Let's say his values are compromised. He's a man of truth, not because of halacha, let's say. But he's a man of truth, and he sees that he has to start like saying things that aren't so accurate, and that's just what he has to do in order for this job to go through. So because he's so worried that he'll lose his job, he's so concerned that he won't get parnasa, he'll just do it quickly. And like say, okay, it was just quick. As if you lie quickly, it didn't make a difference. Just quickly. I won't lie all the time, but this one, just quickly, I'll say it and I'll move on. And he'll do that because he's concerned about where he's going to get money from for his family for the next month. So a person whose mindset is he's trusting in the profession, then he may end up harming himself, physically or spiritually, by taking risks in order to not lose his job, because otherwise what's he going to do? But a person who trusts in the Kodesh Baruch Hu, then he's sure that everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come al tzad hatov. It's going to come in a good way. And he won't put himself in danger in his job, whether it's a physical danger or whether it's a spiritual danger. He will say to Hashem, Hashem, I'm putting in my shtadlis to work. And Hashem, you are the God who has showed me that if I work, you will help me. Hashem, it doesn't make sense to me that I have to be in danger physically or that I have to be in danger spiritually in order to work. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please provide for me, and if it means I have to switch job, I'll switch job. I won't stay in a job where I have to break halacha. Amazing story that Rav Rubenstein told me, and Rav Lapian supported, told me the other side of the story, that there was someone who learned in Keren B'Yavne. I don't know if he did smicha or not, but he definitely stayed more than just the hezder. And then I think he even did smicha. And then he went on to become a lawyer. And then he went into the world of law. And in the world of law, he was presented daily with situations that had to break halacha. And he didn't know what to do. So he went back to Rav Rubenstein, and he said, like, what am I supposed to do? I want to keep the halacha. I'm a religious Jew, but this is what my law firm is telling me to do. So Rubenstein said, so open your own law firm, and like, go independent, and then you can run the rules the way you want. He said, that's impossible. You can't do that. You have to have gone through an established law firm until you're independent enough to open your own law firm. So Rubenstein said, if you can find a way to do it independent, then I give you a bracha, yishvim matzaliach. If you can't find a way to do it independently and you have to stay in the firm, you're not allowed to stay in the firm. You're not allowed to be in a situation where you're forced to break halacha. I'm sorry. You can't break halacha. So he contemplated it and he said, I don't want to be in a situation where I break halacha. I don't see that it's going to work out being a lawyer. I can't see how it's going to develop. I can't find a way for it to work. So he went to Yeshivat Ramat Gan, where Rav Lapian works, and he went for a job interview, and he became a Ram in the yeshiva. I'm not sure where he makes more money. Probably less in this job. Probably. But he's raising generations of Talmud Chacham. And he said, I will never ever look back, because the job satisfaction that he has of building neshamas cannot compare anything to the extra amount of money that he would have made. But the reason why he made that decision was B'tochen and Hashem. He said, it doesn't make sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to be in a situation where I have to break halacha. And what will be? I don't know what will be. I'll give it up. And then he gave it up and he went to be a Ramani Yeshiva. That's value number two. Value number three, benefit number three, Sha'aman HaKimia Eino Noten Emun Ba'Acherim Legalot Lehem Sod Umunato Epnei Shu Mefached Al Chaya Pen Yasu Gam Acherim Kamo Velo Ye Lo Mima Lechiyot Vilo Abateach Ba'Hashem Lo Rak She'in Hu Mefached Me'af Adam Elo Hu Od Mitpa'er Bo Kamo She Bebitachon Shelo Ela Shu Od Mitpa'er Bo Kamo Shu Matav Adam Melech Alav Shalom Ve'elokim Batachti Lo Ira Ma Ya'aseh Li Adam. We gave the example of the Chazon Ish last week on this exact point. So when a person's in business, then there's always going to be competition. And when there's competition, he's always on edge. Is someone going to reveal my secret? Is someone else going to open up a shop nearby me? What happens if someone else understands what I'm doing and they undercut me? They open up another place near me. There was a boy in the yeshiva whose his father was doing very, very well financially in a certain industry. And then China started producing basically the same thing, much lower quality, much, much cheaper, and he lost everything. Meaning he lost it, his whole business went bankrupt. And that can happen in a second. Like, you're always concerned for, like, what's going to be if someone finds out there's competition and you have to keep up, and, like, there's tension. You always have to be, like, keeping up with the market, understanding what's going on, how to keep the advertising going, and if there's another, someone's going to open, and how to, and then you don't want to push them down, but you want to keep yourself going, but you don't want them to overtake it. There's this constant tension. A person has betochen and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's not scared of anyone. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has enough money for me and for them. And not that he's not putting in his shtadlis. He's still putting in his shtadlis. Externally, there may be no difference in him and the first guy. He may still be doing more product research, and he may be doing more advertising, and he's still putting in major ishtadlus. Externally, it may be the same. It's not that he's taking a back seat and saying, B'tachon, I'm not putting an effort. He's still putting the same ishtadlus. But his inner world is a world of difference. The inner world of the first person is, if we don't do extra product research, then they're going to take over, and we're going to lose everything. And they're doing the ishtadlus, but with an anxiety, because they're scared the whole time the other company is going to do well. In this sense, just by the way, the yeshiva world is a wonderful world to work in. Because in the yeshiva world, something like recruiting, and when I speak to other rabbis about the yeshivas, everyone that I've interacted with, everyone just wants talmidim to be in the place that's best for them. And it's amazing. Like, there's not this sense of, like, I want to chup this boy, there's like a joke about it. It's like, oh, you got him and you got him. There's like a joke amongst the rabbis. But there's no sense at all of, oh my gosh, we have to do tricks to get in before them, otherwise they're going to get this one and that school. There's normal ishtadlus of, like, when are you going to send a Rebbe and when are you going to do the interview. Like, normal ishtadlus, things which are understandable. But there's a very good vibe of even sharing ideas between yeshivas, of like, what did you do? And like, it's a very, very beautiful environment to work in, because everyone has the same goal. The same goal is building Talmud Chachamim with Yirat Shamayim, who are going to follow Halacha. And there's different styles, and everyone has different boys are appropriate for different styles. You're working in an environment where basically there's a feeling of everyone's working together. There's not a feeling of this one against the other one, which is a very, very healthy environment to be in. You can only have that with B'tachon. You can only have that where you say, like, may my yeshiva do you well, may your yeshiva do well. An amazing story of the Ponovitzer Rav. The Ponovitzer Rav, Rav Yosef Kahaneman. I'm missing a name there. Yosef? Yosef something Kahaneman. So when he opened Ponovitz Yeshiva, and in Ponovitz Yeshiva there was like the yeshiva in Bnei Brak. There weren't like tens and tens of Talmidim. There was a handful of Talmidim. And there weren't hundreds of yeshivas. There was one yeshiva when Bnei Brak started. Like, nowadays it's a different world. But at that time there was one. And then someone else came straight after the war and founded a new yeshiva. Now, there weren't Talmidim to go around. Like, he was fighting to have a minion the first year. He didn't have a minion the first year of Talmudim. He started without a minion. And they built and built. Someone else came in, founded a yeshiva. What are you doing? So if Yosef Kahaneman could have said, oh, this is terrible, we're going to be fighting for Talmudim now. You won't believe what he did. He went overseas to raise money for his yeshiva. and he was raising money, and as he came to a particular place where he was raising money, he saw this other Rosh Hashiva had walked in. I mean, this other Rosh Hashiva had also come to raise money in the same place. But he was already given the Joshua. So what would a non-Bitachon-oriented person think at that moment? Yes, I got in first. That's what they would think. I would say, first, I'm giving my Joshua. So he gave his whole Joshua, and he was talking about Hashimah HaTorah and Limud Torah and rebuilding after the war. And without Torah, Am Yisrael will finish, and this is what's going to keep the spirit of Hashem going. And then he finished and said, and therefore, this Talmud Chacham who just walked in has founded a new yeshiva for Bnei Brak, and everyone donate generously to him because he is going to be building a yeshiva that's going to enable Jewish Torah to continue. And he was in shock. And they were also a little bit in shock. And Rav Kahneman was mavatin all that money. All the money he potentially could have earned, then he gave to that guy. What was the mindset? What was he thinking? He was thinking, what's my goal? Is my goal Ponovich? Of course not. My goal is Torah. So who cares if it's my yeshiva or it's another yeshiva? I have bitachon in Hashem that me helping out someone else doesn't mean I'm going to lose out. If I'm doing it for the sake of Torah and I'm coming from a place of Yerushalayim, I'm not going to lose out. So he had bitachon. So he says, I'll raise money somewhere else. Like, but now he's here and he came here. I don't want to disappoint him. He's doing the same thing I'm doing, building Torah. Torah! He gave all the money to him. Someone who doesn't have trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's about me and my yeshiva and my success. And then he's always nervous. Someone else is going to take over. When it's about the higher goal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have an inner calmness and menuchas and nefesh. Okay. No, no, no.